Hello and welcome to Relationship Goals Question Mark. I am Daniel Zachum.
And I am Amber Zachum, and always waiting on the
Well, just making sure the audio is going to work. You never know.
Yeah, we've not been talking on here for 5 minutes already.
Yeah. Just hey, you never know. Just making sure. But it's a very special episode.
Yes, it is coming to you from about January 6th of this year, because we are giving you Friends with Kids Part 2 finally.
Finally.
Has it been that long?
It has been,
Yeah,
I
it
looked it
has
up
been that long.
and we recorded before the date, so that means it's even older than that. And ironically, we were coming off of our first COVID quarantine weekend when we recorded with you guys, because we talked about how we had only gone out one day since being home for 2 weeks.
Were in the house for 13 days in a row.
Oh, that's right.
I
And
remember.
now, you guys have had now another COVID experience,
yes.
and either one of us could have basically an entire new baby at this
So I have that written in my notes. I
point.
said we talked about the fact that we are, on board with having kids, and how clearly we don't have one right now, but we could have had one in the amount of time it took us to
True.
make part two of this episode.
Yeah, could be a whole different
Yeah.
episode.
A whole baby
We
could have been formed.
Also only still have two.
Still
None,
two.
two,
It's
two and only
a lot
two.
bigger, the second one, but
So it's not even really like anyone missed anything in our lives, because here
exactly.
we
That's how
are.
it is
Right.
in life. You just catch up where you left off.
Yeah.
Exactly. And obviously we all have the same amount of people in our families currently, so we're on track with
Nothing's changed.
nothing's changed.
Yes.
Exactly.
So yeah, if you guys obviously haven't picked up on this yet, we're welcoming back Derek and Alexa, our friends, to Relationship Goals Question Mark, and we're excited to have them and catch up with them on where we left off and kind of get a little bit of a catch up on their lives and their kids' lives.
Yeah, so obviously we can just start in with like a little check-in. How are CC and Miles doing? How old are they now?
They're getting old. Cecilia is going to be 3 in October, and Miles is about 16 months, give or take.
Crazy.
That's
Oh my, yeah.
crazy. And
Oh,
I know
they're
you were just
huge.
saying Cecilia is into plot shows now, but any other interests? Anything else going on?
Oh
She
gosh.
is
Changes on the
actually,
daily.
yeah, she's starting dance class this Saturday, actually. So,
Oh,
gonna be
exciting.
a little gymnast or dancer, I guess. I don't know. It'll be
Yeah.
interesting to see something, an outlet to get rid of her energy is the
Yeah.
goal. So,
Yeah, she loves like princesses and music, and I don't know. She cycles through like whatever is like the newest thing, but whenever she picks one thing, it's all about that for like 3 days. And then you'll bring it up one day, and all of a sudden, like, you don't talk about it anymore because it's moved on.
Come on, Mom, get with the program.
Fully potty trained now. I think she wasn't
Yeah.
even started last time. So money and diapers, and she's a human being now that can look after herself. So
Wild.
it's
Except
been,
she can't wipe herself. That's a
yeah,
whole thing.
it's like the last like 5% she can't get there quite get good over the hump. But
I remember it with my sister Tilly. She's 16 years younger than me, so in high school, I would remember the like yelling from the bathroom to come wipe her.
100%.
You get past it. You learn that 5%.
It takes a long time though, right? Like I can, this is bad, but I can kind of remember like calling for my parents for help. And so I was old enough to at least have memories, and I'm like,
One of
how long are
Alexa's
you gonna
first
have to do
memories.
this? Yeah.
Calling
Like,
for her parents in the bathroom.
yeah, like
That's
it's so
fair.
it's probably gonna be a while.
Yeah.
That part,
We'll
but
get
yeah,
there.
that's been a big deal, and we could probably do like a whole episode on just potty training, but
That
and
sounds
what that's
we
done to our
possibly have.
relationship.
Yeah.
It's a whole new thing.
That's funny.
Miles is cruising and walking and running and trying to keep up.
Yeah. O
Wild.
overall doing well. I could say they're growing, and nothing too terrible has happened. So
Oh, Miles did lose a tooth. That was pretty traumatic.
Miles did not get to though.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Oh no, just running into something or?
We were at this Thomas the Train event in Illinois at the Railway Museum, and he fell off the back of a stationary train.
Oh no.
While we were both standing there.
Yeah, it was a pretty traumatic experience.
I would say, yeah, that was probably like our first trauma that we had to get through, injury. And thank goodness we were both there, because I know, like, had either one of us not been present, it would have been a lot of blame, a lot of guilt. But anyways, we survived that, and it was scary. But he's doing well, so he's going to be toothless in the front for
a while.
10 years.
Yeah, some awkward school photos for a while till the permanent comes in.
So in the last episode, we talked about how Cece fell off a table at Costco. Now we got Miles.
Oh, we're on a whole different level now.
Escalating a little bit at a time.
Oh, that's fair.
And that's a pretty big job.
Fair.
Big escalation.
Yeah. But other than that, everybody's doing great and healthy and living life.
Yeah.
Good. Well, I know we wanted to talk about how, obviously, when we first talked to you guys, at the, you know, kind of end of last year, beginning of this year, that we were still somewhat in some sort of semi lockdown mode with the pandemic. And now we're all pretending it doesn't exist anymore. So we're, you know, out in the world again. And I know you guys talked about on the last episode, how lockdown didn't really change your routine, since, you know, having kids keeps you at home a lot. So I just wanted you guys to maybe touch on how the world opening up has changed your lives with the kids and, you know, your schedule and things along those lines.
Sure. I think it's been kind of a beautiful progression into this, because they're now old enough to where I think we both feel like comfortable taking them out a little bit more. And so opening up, not only are things now available, but they're able to participate in a couple of things too, which is fun. So Derek had mentioned Cecilia's starting dance class. This Saturday is her first one. We'll see how that goes. But we've been doing play groups and story times at the library. And it's been a lot of fun, but a lot to navigate, just in terms of their exposure to other people and their social cues that they haven't been able to develop throughout their life. And so this is a lot of culture shock for them at times.
I'm sure.
Yes. And like me learning how to like navigate, like when Cecilia is trying to throw other kids off the playground equipment because she doesn't think that anybody else is allowed on it but her. She does. She cries. Does. Like,
she really does.
Every time somebody else is at the park, like she loses her mind.
Yeah. Pandemic kids. They're all only children, essentially.
Only child syndrome. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. She's not used to people like pushing her back and like telling her you can't have that, because she's used to having everything and doing whatever she wants. So it's good life experiences for them, for sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think just people are less apprehensive in general, you know, not gather and meet and do things, just because for a while there was like, should we do this, you know, is this safe,
or we don't want to see you because you have kids.
Totally.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. A lot has changed since last time we met, for sure. Been a lot different.
I know, a lot better in a lot of ways, and just, you know, helping them, like I said, to develop those social cues and how to interact with other, and even seeing like some family members that we didn't get to see a lot before. So it's been a lot of learning on everybody's end. And I know you had mentioned the schedule and trying to navigate that. And it's just so different now with two on, they're on different nap schedules and different routines, and trying to figure out how do we best meet everybody's needs and then balance our work life and family life and all of the things in between can be really overwhelming.
Yeah, that sounds extremely overwhelming. Do you guys have help? Do you have family or daycare, or what do you do, you know, so that you're both able to work?
Are our bosses listening?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Absolutely not.
No comment. I think I always joke that I'm a stay-at-home dad with a full-time job. Like, yeah. I basically bridge the gap between, so we have help. My mom's close by, my dad both, but my mom does the majority of the childcare for sure. Since we're close enough that she can zoom over here if we need her, or vice versa, we can, you know, bring the kids over to their house if we need to.
That's super nice.
But you know, Alexa's been working a lot more than she was recently. So I am like bridging the gap between when my mom's not able to watch them and Alexa's gone and I'm the only one at the house that can watch them. So I have been doing a lot of childcare activities in addition to my full-time job, which is a very difficult balance to strike.
I'm sure.
Trying to like plan around meetings basically is how I do it. It's like if I have a meeting that I have to be on camera for and I have to actually be engaged and like active dream, then kids probably screaming in the background and grabbing onto my leg is not going to be very professional workplace setting. So I'm bridging the gap between like when we have childcare and when we don't. I'm the main guy. I've been pretty involved these past 6 months or so with watching the kids.
You mentioned Cocomelon earlier. That's a nice babysitter. And I know Derek sometimes will just throw Miles down in his bed. He loves to sleep. And so even now into like his toddler age, he still is pretty good. Like if you put him in bed, he'll just lay there and snuggle his baby and be quiet while he's upstairs if you have a meeting or something. But I'm like,
so you got one good one
for so long.
I was gonna say, it's not like having a dog where you can like stick them in the bathroom with the fan on, so if they bark it muffles it, but it kind of is.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah,
the sound machine, like just bump the sound machine up.
That's hilarious. I like it. I'm all in. That's good. That would be my life. I'm home 100% of the time. So
yeah.
For sure, nap schedule helps because you can like block off 2 hours. Be like, okay, this is what time nap's starting, and then they'll sleep for at least 2 hours, and I can get the majority of my work done in that time period, and then see how the rest of the day goes after that. So yeah, it's like an hour by hour thing during the day.
Yeah, we try to and not to have like a long overlap if we don't have to between his mom and me coming home. Of course, things happen and come up. And, you know, ideally, my dream was to stay at home and be a full time stay at home mom. But I would say, like Derek said, most of the time I've gotten back to work almost full time now.
Whole reversal, really, then.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. And I work out of the house as a speech therapist in the hospital. So I don't get the remote option.
Fair.
I'm gone and a long time during the day, most days, late hours, sporadic,
exactly,
unpredictable sometimes.
On
the days when I'm like, oh, I'm going to have a day off, and then I get called in. And
I was going to ask Saturday, Derek, are you taking Cecilia to dance class?
I am not. I will be sitting that one out.
This time. Maybe in the future.
You're going to become a dance dad, one of those crazy dance dads.
Yeah, he's going to be doing the facial expressions in the background while she's on stage dancing.
He knows all the routines, I'm sure.
That's right.
You know, yelling at her.
I'm going to get stern with her. Make sure she's on a strict diet and exercise regimen to compete with the other kids.
She's going to have
embarrassment in front of the other kids.
Nightmares of 5, 6, 7, 8. It's going to be great. I think that'll, I will.
No, I never thought we were going to be like dance parents. I actually won a scholarship, you call it. Like I got a free dance class for her basically through a raffle. So that's how this came.
Take it.
Yeah. I mean, you can't beat free.
Yeah.
So that's how we got our wedding dance classes, pretty much, wasn't it?
No, my mom bought them for
us. Someone bought them for us. We didn't go out of our way.
So it was free to you. Not free in general, but free to you guys.
Yeah.
And you killed it, by the way.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I still remember that, most of it, too. I don't know. I don't think Amber
does. Blocked out
you guys for your anniversary, like,
we should have reenacted it.
Should've we reenacted put it. At Panda Express. Love hearing about the kids, love catching up on them, and we definitely have more questions to come, but I did want to focus a little more on you guys this episode and kind of find out some advice on your relationship as a couple outside of being parents, or I guess not necessarily like outside of being parents, but kind of what that looks like as parents.
Yeah. So what advice do you give like couples who want kids but want to continue to do like the things they love to do? And then, you know, I know we talked about it a little bit on the first episode, but just going more into it.
So great question. I'll let you take this one because I love your analogy.
My analogy? Oh, no. No, I would just say it's definitely you're not going to have the same amount of time to allot, you know, to the things that you're used to doing. It definitely adds a lot of responsibility that wasn't, you know, existent before in your life. So it's like, I think of it like a pie chart, you know, of your life and what your day consists of on a normal basis. You know, you block off a certain amount of it for work and for social activities and other things that you would normally do during the day. That timeline just kind of gets compressed a little bit to where you have less time to, you know, do the things that you would normally do at the course of the day because you have other responsibilities that are in the way. So your pie chart shrinks a little bit in the other areas and expands a lot in the child area that wasn't before. So you just kind of have to prioritize, I think, and purposefully do things that you need to do outside of work and childcare to, you know, keep your sanity, basically. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I think in a lot of ways, like the things that we would have considered like mundane or not as purposeful before we had kids are now meaningful. Like we might have like our best conversation while we're cleaning up after dinner or, you know, in that hour that we get at night where we get to watch one show instead of binge like four episodes of a show, which we're used to doing before we had kids. Now it's really just maximizing that little bit of time mm-hmm. that we had and making it like a little more purposeful.
Yeah.
Which takes a lot of effort sometimes.
Yeah. You kind of learn how to make the most of the time that you do have alone together because there's so much less of it to go around, you know? Mm-hmm. It's just...
Or even, like, having to repurpose and reprioritize, like, time for personal hygiene. Like, I have to wake up an hour earlier than I used to because I would like to take a shower by myself instead of with both kids at my feet or just little things like that where it's having to learn to work it, to make it fit everybody's needs. It's not just about you anymore.
During like my pie chart right now is a nice even split between 8 hours of work, 8 hours of sleep, and 8 hours of free time.
For real.
And I just see all of the free time and like half of the sleep going away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fair.
It's like, I don't know, it's like a life change. Like in college, what did your pie chart look like? You know, it was like an hour of class here, an hour of class there, and everything in between was just
playing,
you know, doing whatever you wanted all day long without regard for much else. And then you became a professional in the working world and your chart changed to work. Just another adjustment to squeeze another, you know, chunk of responsibility into your life that didn't exist before.
Okay, I like this. I like this idea better. That makes it a little bit more.
I think it makes sense on like the age of your child, like how needy they are in certain areas, and which part of your chart you have to take away from. So, like, yeah, obviously, when they're brand newborn, your sleep is going to be way down. But then, when they get even like our kids' age right now, toddler age, they sleep a lot, and it's awesome because we get all those hours back. And so, whatever we need to do in the time that they're sleeping or being more independent. It's really cool, like Derek says, how that shifts and change, and sometimes even day to day, you know, and what our needs are, mm-hmm. which is cool. I tend to really like shrink my responsibility in like the kitchen. Like I used to spend a lot of time like cooking and meal planning and doing those things. And like now that my work has grown, I don't have time for that. And half the time we're picking up pizza for dinner like we did tonight. And I don't even like have the energy to like plan it. Like that really falls on him. And so that's something he didn't do a lot of before we had kids. And now those responsibilities have shifted. So we'll keep using the chart as the example. Like things have like taken off of mine that like areas that I would have normally picked up on, he's having to do now because he's home or vice versa.
Give and take from each other's charts. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Taking on roles that we didn't do before. It's just an expansion of life skills, you know.
And then some things just fall off both of our charts that, you know, we would have loved to do. And this we understand, like right now in this phase of our life, we just don't have time for that we could have made time for behind.
That makes sense. I feel like it'll be nice if we check in with you guys every so often to see how your life is changing and the way that you describe essentially this chart analogy, you know, as they get older and how that looks for you in the future. Because it's definitely an interesting way to like think about it. And I really like the way that Derek said, you know, we went from college where we had like no responsibility to then taking on some and taking on more. So I think that makes it a little bit more, it's like sounds more manageable than just
palatable. Yeah.
Than just like going from like all the time you want to like none of the time.
Right. But I say there's always like, to me, if it's important to you and it's going to make you feel better and have that better quality of life, like there's always time to squeeze those things in. And so that's what's important is like you make the kids fit into your life and your routine versus the other way around where you're having to like totally get rid of everything that you love and do. It's going to add to, you know, anxiety, depression, those things that are already, you know, very palatable and can happen. And now having to shift that into a more functional.
I'm sure we all know people that do it the opposite way and it doesn't look fun at all.
Right.
Not at all.
Really terrible.
And it's not easy to put yourself first when you need to. I think a lot of the time it can just be so focused on like, I have these little people and like they're everything matters. But there are sometimes like, I love to, you know, tell my clients, like you cannot pour from an empty cup. Like you have to take self-care as a priority. And even our relationship is not going to function unless there's, you know, fuel behind it. So taking that little bit of time and not feeling guilty for getting a babysitter or,
right.
you know, letting his parents take a couple of hours so we can, you know, hang out and just have some us time.
Yep.
Absolutely. And, you know, kind of on that note, we did want to ask, in your experience, now that you have kids, how do you keep the romance alive? Date nights, you know, putting in extra effort?
It's trying to squeeze in the time. I think that's what's hard. And so whether that means like I'm giving up a few hours of sleep at night so that we can watch a show together or I don't know. We went to a concert recently. So like planning little trips, things like that. That was a lot of fun. Yeah.
We went to a concert in Kalamazoo at the Central Cafe. But just like a small thing. It was just we, you know, left work early Friday night, went, stayed in Kalamazoo for one night and came back. So it's just like, small break from the kids to do something that we wanted to do with just having that break. I think just the two of us was a huge deal. It was a very purposeful thing. Like we're going to take a break. We're going to take this, you know, small trip. It's not anything major, but it's going to be at least a break from the ordinary routine. And it'll give us a chance to recharge. And I mean, even having like being in Chicago for the last couple of days, I was saying earlier, it was just like, the kids are so much more enjoyable to me today because I missed them when I was gone. Right. As opposed to usually it's just like, I'm just annoyed because you're used to being around them all the time. And relationship wise, definitely just taking a break for just the two of us and then leaving the kids where they are and finding somebody to watch them so we can have a break.
Or sometimes the best things for us are just to even get a break from each other and like give ourselves space within the house. Like even though we're both still here, like having just a few time so that we can just separate and do our own thing for a little bit and come back.
Absolutely.
But I think at nighttime is where we spend like the biggest time like communicating and like right before we go to bed, just having time to kind of decompress, talk about what is our day going to look like tomorrow. Like to do highs and lows, like some things that went well through the day, some things we want to be different or that weren't so fun. I really enjoy that time, like right before we go to sleep, that we're just winding down.
And I'm sure you find too that like the more you're able to do together or do for yourselves alone, that you find yourself being like a better parent to the kids because you can give them 100% of your time when you're with them if you take the time that you need for yourself when you're not with them.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And just having that communication, like if we have days that are just like, we are not on the same page or we're just struggling to take care of or feeling overwhelmed or stressed, it's trying to find like, why is it that, you know, we're acting this way towards each other. And it may not be that like you didn't change the baby's diaper. It's, you know, there are things that have like compounded on that and like we're hurting in another area. So trying to be really respectful and understanding of what else could be going on. That's a big part of it so that we don't blow up at each other or get overstressed and, or take it out on the kids or anything like that. It's just keeping those open lines of communication. at all times and not being afraid to hurt each other's feelings. I think that's been a big learning curve. Like before we had kids, we might have been a little bit more passive, and you know us, like we're very relaxed and calm and maybe non-confrontational, and here it's like we don't have the opportunity to let this go until later. Like you have to address it as it comes up.
I feel like it's also probably something that's in the back of both of your minds, that like all of your actions towards each other are something that your kids are absorbing. Mm-hmm. And so that's like an added element to like, you know, showing them what, you know, adult disagreements look like versus like not wanting to be parents that like constantly bicker in front of them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think what I hear somewhere is that like your voice becomes their inner voice. And just modeling those like good behaviors and those good communication skills for them is so important to both of us, especially.
Yeah, it's really impactful when you think about it that way. Like if you're the way you speak is violent or disrespectful, things like that, then that becomes what they think inside of their heads, you know, is that little voice inside their head. So it really
makes a lot of sense.
Makes you step back and really be like, hey, do I really want my children to think in their head the way, you know, that I'm acting or speaking. It makes a huge difference.
100%. I've seen it with kids that I know, that they speak to each other and their parents the way the parents speak to each other.
And it's wild when they do it. It is absolutely wild. I know what she's talking about, and I've seen it firsthand, and it is wild.
Yeah.
One of those kids that are just like dropping F-bombs, and you're like, what?
I was also just thinking in this case, I was thinking about myself and how my dad never talks, and that's why my inner self, I never talk, and everybody's just like, can you just talk, please? There's stuff going on. It's just like,
I swear, like sometimes I feel like Danny doesn't have anything to say. And I'm like, I have 1,000 things to say at all minutes of the day. And I just need someone sometimes to talk to quiet my inner voice.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's so interesting, like the psychological aspects of this. And I think now what's one thing that's different that our parents didn't have, and we're kind of like reparenting through social media and the access to all of like the psychological aspects of parenting and the different things. And like, I've learned so much like on Instagram and TikTok about parenting and like what could happen to your kid's brain that I know like my mom never thought about that. And so like even trying to have to relay some of the values that I have to my parents or Derek's mom and dad and trying to get them to like buy in to this, like I follow a group called Big Little Feelings. Love that for any of those people who are having kids and are interested in having kids. It's a great follow, but just a lot of those like parenting groups, that's like gentle parenting and teaching your kids like ownership over their feelings versus like, if I ever cried when I was growing up, it was like, stop crying right now. Or like, well, you're going to get in trouble if you have these big emotions. And we are very much on the opposite end of like giving into teaching them how they're feeling and how to manage those things instead of ignoring them and repressing them and talking about some of that stuff that may be uncomfortable, and having to model that for them is so challenging at times when we either want to keep it quiet or not address it, and just realizing like they're watching and their eyes are on all the time.
Obviously something that we all are in the same generation, so we probably have parents that had very similar parenting styles, which is just kind of to like, for lack of a better term, like kind of just wing it. Mm-hmm. And now I feel like from, you know, talking with you guys and talking with some of our other friends that have kids, I feel like our generation is doing a really good job of being really aware of what we want for our kids that maybe we didn't get. And it's not because our parents, you know, did anything malicious, but it's more just from lack of information, like you were saying.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. There's no access. Like you only know what you're exposed to. And now we're overexposed to everything. So I think it's kind of like probably gone the other way. And I wonder too, like when they grow up and where the grandparents are, wow, you really screwed us up and you were the worst.
Of course, absolutely.
I can't believe you let us talk about our feelings.
It's always something. And, you know, I feel like every generation.
Quality on us.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
They'll be lucky for it. Let's just say that.
I hope they're thankful that they
grow
up to be. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds like you guys have a really good approach from, you know, obviously people who have no idea in any capacity, but the way you talk about it is definitely in line with how I would want to do a lot of different mm-hmm. aspects of parenting for sure.
Yeah, I've had to learn to be more patient and like lower my expectations. Like, I'm not going to be perfect at everything. I'm going to fail at some things. I'm going to be awesome at some things, and recognizing there's a good balance. And at the end of the day, it's like, if I'm doing the best I can and I'm trying to do no harm, then that's the best I can expect from any of us.
Right.
And there's going to be days that are better than others, and we always try again fresh the next day.
Absolutely. And I think the,
you like know, our relationship, right? Yeah. That's how.
And I think the comfort in knowing that failing is also such a good thing to show kids, uh-huh. where, you know, everyone's going to fail, and it's kind of how you respond to failure that's actually more important than like what you actually failed at. And so it's going to be the same in relationships or parenting or, you know, jobs or school or whatever comes along. And
I was always taught you always learn more when you fail than when like you succeed at something. Like, there's always lessons to be learned, and you always grow more when you lose than when you win at something. So,
absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
I know Derek went on a trip for a couple of days. Alexa, what do you do like when he, you know, is gone for a couple of days and you have to manage the kids alone? Like, I know we were up in Michigan for quite a few days. So how is that? And how do you like navigate that?
It's a lot of like planning activities and making the activities last as long as possible, which is hard with babies and toddlers because they, I mean, get bored with something in like 5 minutes. Their attention span is not very long. We take a lot of baths because that's usually one activity that they like to do. And it takes a long time because then you gotta get dressed afterwards. And so if I'm really like searching for something to do, we're either out in the sprinkler or we're in the bathtub. I rely a lot on family and friends too. So like just trying to structure activities for them, just to change the scenery can be helpful. It's weird when you're by yourself with them because you're busy, but it's also like a really lonely and isolating feeling. Like, you can probably relate to that too. And it seems like time is just so slow. I'll let you, you're home.
If you give her a bowl of popcorn, she'll just like sit for hours and just munch popcorn and just watch like whatever's on the screen. It's incredible. Like, complete devotion to the single task of eating popcorn, nothing else. You just hear like crunch, crunch, like steady cadence. Okay. For
so yeah, we definitely allow screen time for like when we need to get stuff done.
Yeah.
I actually, this is like such a weird tangent, but I'm actually reading this parenting book right now on how it's actually an economist who kind of looks into some of the like more common quote unquote facts about like parenting and bringing up kids. And she talks about screen time and how, you know, there's studies that are done where people that allow their kids to have certain amount of screen time per day, obviously the studies show like a reduce in IQ, things like that. And then she went deeper and realized that the people, it's more of like a socioeconomic thing. People that it's generally people at lower socioeconomic levels, lower education that, you know, are in these studies. And so it's not a good comparison because when she went and found studies on people in middle class or upper middle class that their kids watched the same amount of screen time, they actually had zero change in IQ, zero development problems, zero anything else. So like reading those kind of things is so interesting because I feel like when you're thinking about having kids or you have kids, you're thrown all of these like numbers and statistics all the time, but nobody ever talks about like where they come from and like really looks into other factors that might actually be the real, you know, driving force behind some of these numbers. And so it's, I mean, we don't even have kids yet and it's already so interesting to just see like how kind of like hyped things are when they're not necessarily true.
Yeah. Oh, 100 and like one study can get out and like social media is like wildfire. Like,
oh, 100%.
And, like whatever's trending, like things are great for you, things are not great for you. And it's kind of that way with like diets and fads too, like totally. With anything.
Yeah.
And how quickly it goes. And so it's just learning like what your values are and what you see. And like, I think between kid to kid, it's so different. Like Cecilia, for us, she watches a ton of screen time and like would live on the tablet if we let her. And I feel like she's, you know, pretty smart. she seems to be.
Well, and that's the thing, like, you guys, okay, so she watches, you know, she has screen time, great, but you also are probably reading with her, you're talking right. with her. A big factor in kids that, you know, have good social skills is like a present father. So there's like so many
absolutely that like you just like take for granted.
Yeah.
And then I also try to talk about like whatever it is happening there and maybe recreating some of the things that she's watched, and so we can do some carryover into real life. Versus Miles, who we've exposed him to a lot of screens, and he just like, it's not his personality to like sit and be invested in that. Like, he's a little bit more hands-on, a little bit more moving. So I think it depends on the kid too.
Our first kid on the podcast. Yeah,
first kid.
she just relocated.
Came into the room. Yeah,
that's just fair. Be closer.
Our voices isn't scariest.
Yeah.
Who we're talking to.
So yeah, it's just interesting between the two, like how we expose them the same, but they respond a little bit differently to that stuff too.
A little nature versus nurture situation.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's like, oh, is it male versus female? Is it because he's the second and he, you know, just
maybe he's dumb. Maybe he's dim. Maybe he's just destined to be a dumb kid. We just don't know.
16 months, he's already talking.
I can't wait till one day when he hears that he's gonna hear this and be like, my father called me a dumb kid.
When he graduates valedictorian, we'll play this sound bite at his graduation and we'll say, you know, your dad didn't believe in you, but you still did it.
Yeah,
he did it.
Motivation he needed.
Uncle Danny and Aunt Amber are gonna save this.
Brutal.
That's so funny. We really only have a couple questions left, but one of them is, and I'm sure obviously you could probably talk about this forever, but can you tell us just some positive changes in your life that have happened since having kids?
Oh, yeah. yes, there are moments where it's so hard, but I think for us, or me especially, like always having that intrinsic desire to mother and to be able to guide. And, you know, we talked about just wanting to create a better life for them. The world is so scary right now. And so the idea that we're having a positive, what I believe will be a positive contribution to the future, really makes me feel better as a human and being able to do what I consider my part into what can be a very potentially scary idea when you look at it, and teaching them all the ways that, like, the things that I like to do and that I think will be better. They take all the good from both of us, which is kind of cool, and hopefully none of the bad things, and to pass on to future generations. Like, to me, that idea is so awesome that you kind of can live on through them and their children and their children and their children, where it's like this funnel effect where, you know, sometimes it's a good thing, sometimes it's bad, but the idea that, you know, we had a step in that and a hand in that is really cool. And then just the joy that they bring us day to day, because they're so funny, and to watch their little personalities bloom has been such a joy.
It's definitely entertaining.
From day one.
For one thing, definitely entertaining. It's also just as a father, just open up all kinds of avenues of different emotions and feelings that really never knew existed. It's just things that they bring out, things that, you know, you never know you had, really. And it's very, very, very special, very enjoyable, I think. Just watching their journey and being able to be a part of it, it's just a really fantastic feeling. So
you celebrate things that seem so minuscule and like going to the bathroom.
Wait until she can wipe on her own.
Someday we'll get
soon there. Enough.
Yeah.
It's just funny, like other observations on things.
It's just fun to be part of the journey, really, because there's always obviously things to look forward to, you know, and they're going to start school and they're going to make friends and they're going to start sports and that'll be interesting. And then, you know, they're going to navigate their lives and you're going to be the main player in their lives, you know, for better or worse. And it's going to be, I just can't, just really, really fun to be part of that journey. You know, it's like, friends and different people you meet throughout your lives come and go a lot because of different circumstances in life. People just grow apart over time, but the kids really will just always be there, and you'll always be a part of it. It's really special and really fun to just be a part of the journey, really.
And the things that, I mean, that we loved growing up, getting to see them experience that for the first and sometimes millionth time, it never gets old. And it's still so fun to see their reaction. Like, we just did our first family camping trip in a tent. And, like, they're so little, they're never going to remember that. But, like, for us, like, having that experience again and being able to share that with them is really special. And with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Even though we've been camping before and we've done those things, but, like, now having it with them and kind of shifting the focus has been really fun. And it's a lot of work. It's so much work than what we could do. Like, it would have been easy for us to just leave them at home and go on our own, but, like, it's totally worth, like, those moments where things are smooth sailing.
Yeah, I can imagine one. I mean, obviously, I feel like I wouldn't suggest having kids if you, like, didn't want them to be part of the things you love. And I can imagine that, you know, on a smaller scale, Danny and I went to Europe this summer and I took my sisters and they had never been to Europe before. And it was, you know, going to Europe is something I love so much. And getting to watch them experience it for the first time was one of my favorite things that ever happened in my life. So I can only imagine that same feeling is just exponentially bigger when it's your own kids.
Oh yeah.
For sure. Yeah. It's like the things that you, I mean, even like holidays are special, right? But just like seeing Christmas and stuff through a child's eyes and imagination is just incredible. It's like, everything's such a huge deal. And it's just your perspective changes about just how, you know, amazing things are to people who haven't experienced certain things before. They just see things in a whole new light that makes you appreciate it and gives you a, you know, a step back to say, you know, it is pretty amazing, a lot of this stuff. And you just get to relive it all, over again from a different perspective. So it's really, really fun.
And it's funny because it's not just like new. It's new, like, through, in a way, your own eyes, because they are so much of you. And you learn to love your partner differently because you can see, like, for me, I see so much of Derek in Cecilia and her mannerisms and the things that she's developed and learned how to do. And I love him differently because of that, because I see her kind of developing those in Miles as well, starting to get little, and he looks just like his dad. And so it's like fun for me to imagine, like, this is how you grew up. And this is, you know, like, some of the things that you did. And so you love it in a whole new way. It's really hard to explain. And then in yourself too, like, you can literally, like, relive your memories because you're raising this, like, mini version of who you are. And it's so indescribable. And it brings a different amount of joy and emotion that you can't explain.
Well, I'm just slightly emotional over here.
Yeah.
I'm trying not to cry because the way you guys are talking about it is, like, amazing. And I would, like, I'm not crying, but it's
I'm not crying. You're crying.
I'm not crying. It's just, I'm sure your kids would love to hear this someday, is, you know, getting to hear that kind of love and just, love of being a parent, but, like, just, you know, really celebrating this time of your life and enjoying it. And it seems like, obviously there are really hard times, but, like, you guys are really showing how much you're enjoying this step, and it doesn't last that long. And I think, like, it's common, and we find this a lot with, you know, guests on the show, is that it's really common, I feel like, for me and my girlfriends to talk about how we feel about things. But I love hearing Derek's perspective too, because it's just not something that
we hear very often.
No, and, like, obviously I obviously have hung out with Derek 1,000 times, but, like, him and I don't, like, sit down and discuss his emotions about parenting. So it's really it's really nice to hear that. And I'm sure for Danny as well, because I know you don't talk a lot about, like, emotional things with your guy friends that often.
Right. Not too often.
Not too often. Yeah. Even, like, with my brother, it's hard. You know, we both have two kids and we both are going through the same things, but even then, like, we're not having deep conversations about parenting, you know. It's just
the heavy stuff. And, like, you're getting a firsthand watch at, like, how other people parent, but, like, just to, like, sit down and decompress it is very rare. And I think the big takeaway for me is, like, the heavy stuff, the stressful, like, I'm gonna strangle you and, like, skin your head and rip your hair off because you're driving me crazy. Those moments are very real and they happen all day long, but you don't hang on. That's not the stuff you hold on to. At the end of the day, you're remembering the silly, the fun, the loving, that feeling you get when they just look at you with just such adoration and love. And
now,
like, they're just starting to say
any accomplishment that, like, you have, that, like, the work is hard as shit, right? Like, say you're like a college degree or like a job, you know, that's really hard in the middle of it, but then you're really proud at the end of it. Just like that with kids. It's like, go to bed
every
at the end
day, of the day,
and it's
day.
Like, yeah, today was really hard. Yeah, I wanted to kill them. You know, this was this and this, but at the end of the day, like, you did a good job, you know, and you accomplished something, and it's a job well done. You have a feeling of like really, like, just proud and accomplishment, basically. So it's, yeah.
And they learn so much, and it's awesome.
Yeah.
It's really cool. And then you develop a whole new love for your partner in that too, because you're experiencing the hardship together and you're overcoming that together. And then it's really cool. You just get to this point where you don't have to ask for help anymore, or you can kind of just look at your partner and see, what is it that I can do? And you don't have to ask. There isn't any, you know, any more of that, like, awkward, like, what can I do to help you? Because you already just know it. Like, you've lived it, you're going through it together, and you just get each other on this whole other level that we didn't have before kids. Like, before it was like constantly having to ask, or, you know, can you please help me do this, or labeling those things. And now it's like, we're living this together and learning together, and just a well-oiled machine.
Yeah. What does relationship goals mean to you then? I mean, that was kind of just all of that. All of that. Yeah. I was going to say, you really hit it right there, but
that is, yeah. It's just being able to read each other and to know. And
do things that make one another happy and content, I think, mm-hmm. with life. I mean, like, a good example, Alex is going to Disney on Ice this weekend with the kids and some girlfriends, and she could have forced me to go. Like, she could have been like, you're going to go to this, we're going to have a great family time. And I would
my best friend is bringing her husband.
Like, I just don't have any interest. Okay. And
I knew he didn't want to go. And,
so, like, me and this other guy are going to go and, like, go golfing. So I was, like, perfectly okay with it. She's like, yeah, I'm not going to make you sit through that and be miserable if you don't want to be, because that's not how I want, you know, our relationship to be. So,
yeah.
Like, she's going to go do things with her friends that they're going to enjoy, and I'm going to go do things with, you know, my friends that I'm going to enjoy. And we're both perfectly happy with those decisions, and we just, you know, are good with what makes one another, you know, happy. And
life is too short to force each other to do things that you don't want to do.
Especially watching very large Disney characters skate for seven.
It's a long show.
2 hours.
A 2 hour, and it's in Saginaw.
With both of my babies in a stadium seating in the middle of the day.
That I think you guys hit the nail on the head. I think
you look like you want to come.
Yes, I think mark me down for the next time for sure. Yeah.
Next time it rolls through Saginaw,
you'll be going golfing in Saginaw. Yeah.
Well, thank you guys both so much for being here yet again. You've provided such a like warm, heartfelt episode. We loved having you on. Like I said, I would love to definitely circle back with you guys over, you know, the next, who knows what, you know, the next season of Relationship Goals ? Will be, but we would love to catch up with how parenting is going and how, you know, things are changing with the kids. And we just really appreciate so much that you took some time out of your very limited pie chart to talk to us.
Thanks for having us, guys. It was enjoyable. As always, and good to see you guys.
Yes, we miss you so much.
Yeah,
we miss you guys,
and I'm gonna just cheers out to you, obviously, for taking the time. We always appreciate anyone that takes time for us, and we appreciate it and learned a lot, I think, from talking with you guys. So,
well, good. Yeah, anytime. Yeah. We're glad to join.
Absolutely, guys.
Let's have a good day.
Have a good fucking day.
Yes.
Cheers, guys.